Welcome back to this episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. Today, we are going to talk about two incredibly interesting landmarks in Decatur, the Old State Bank and the historic Decatur Union Depot. And joining us today with more info on these landmarks is Judge David Breland, who is the Manager of Historic Resources for the City of Decatur. Thank you so much for being here today, Judge Breland.
Glad to be with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you. You always learn a ton when you talk to you, so I can't wait.
And some of it is true.
Hey, don't let that get in the way of a good story now. Don't let the truth get in the way.
There you go. I hope your listeners like a lot of fun because I like to have fun myself.
Yes, yes, they do. And so do I. So we're in for a treat today. Well, before we jump in, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do in your role with the City of Decatur.
Well, I'm a native of Decatur. I'm 70 years old. I've lived here all of my life except for four years of college and 3 years of law school at the University of Alabama. I've lived here basically all of my life.
Okay. And
so I was a judge here, a lawyer, practicing lawyer for several years, became a district court judge, was an actual trial judge for about 25 years, and then worked directly for the state Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, for several years after that. And then I'm a professional mediator, so I did a fair amount of that work. And then the position of Manager of Historic Resources for the city became open. At that time, it was only the Old State Bank, and that sounded interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I was hired to do it. Always loved history. I minored in history in college. Always loved history, and I've always loved the history of the South, the history of Alabama, and the history of Decatur in particular.
Yeah. Well, what an interesting career and second career.
Well, thank you. Actually, that came about after I retired from the bench. My wife came in about 2 weeks later and said, "Are you going to get yourself a job, or do you want me to get you a job?" So I had to scramble to find something that I was capable of doing that sounded like fun as well.
That is so funny. So we can thank your wife then for giving you that nudge, we'll call it. Not
yes,
a shove,
yes.
A nudge.
Well, you can call it whatever you want to.
Oh, my goodness.
But she's
so funny.
A great lady and knew what she was talking about. I needed to be out and about doing things.
She needed her time, and she knew you needed your time. So
that's correct. You have it.
Well, we are very thankful for her giving you that nudge, we'll call it. To tell the stories of Decatur. So
thank you so much.
Well, speaking of telling the stories, let's start talking about the Old State Bank. Tell us about how many purposes the Old State Bank has served over its long history.
Oh my goodness. I don't know that we have enough time on this podcast to go through all of them. Of course, it started out as a part of the State Bank of Alabama system that was created by President Andrew Jackson and Congress during his tenure in office. Jackson hated the national banking system and forced the states to come up with their own banking system. So we had a main branch of the Bank of Alabama was in Tuscaloosa, which was the capital of the state at that point in time. The southern branch was in Mobile. The central Alabama branch was in Montgomery. And in essence, the branch for the northern part of the state was in Decatur.
Okay.
So in 1833, this was built, and it remained a bank, a part of the state banking system, until 1842. After that time, in no particular order, it has been a lot of things. It's been a personal residence for a couple of families for several decades. It was a saloon at one point in time.
It was
a little cafe. It was a serviceman's club during World War II. It was the American Legion Post here for a number of years. The First National Bank of Decatur, when it was first created, had its building here. It's been a lot of things other than that. It was a hotel for a while, a boarding house for a while. So it has had a lot of different purposes. But one thing has been constant mm-hmm. the entire time the bank has been in existence, and that is it is the iconic symbol of the city of Decatur. No yeah. question about that. If you see a picture of the Old State Bank, if you see it when you're sitting in Seattle, Washington, you know probably yes. what that is and where it is.
That is so cool.
Well, I didn't even mention during the Civil War, this was used as a field hospital. It was also used wow. as a supply depot. There are a lot of scars on the building that are evidence of its role in the Civil War. This was kind of the epicenter of the 1864 Battle of Decatur that took place here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And I guess with it being so close to the river that it really did serve a great purpose with that proximity.
Absolutely. And with that proximity, it kind of ties the downtown to the river at this yeah. point in time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what is maybe one of your favorite stories about the Old State Bank and its history in the Civil War?
Well, many historians, now some do not believe this, but many historians believe that the Old State Bank was used as a surgical suite as well as a field hospital. Now, once okay. again, some do not agree with that, but some do. And to me, I've always thought that is a logical thing to believe, just simply yeah. because it was a building. It was much safer to be in here than it would have been out in the field somewhere. So just knowing about that part of mm-hmm. the history, another sad part of the Civil War history, virtually the entire town of Decatur was destroyed by the Union Army mm-hmm. in the spring of 1864. A lot of it was torn down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe that much of it was burned. Actually, relatively little was burned. Most of it was torn down, and the building materials used in various ways to build fortifications for okay. the Union Army here. And part of that fortification was built around the Old State Bank. In essence, it had kind of a crude wall, if you want to call it that, built around it. Mm-hmm. Doors, windows, bricks, whatever was there from the tearing down of the town became a protection for those inside the bank and its walls.
Okay. Okay, so it was protect the bank at all costs.
Absolutely. Glad they did.
Yes. Well, how do you think that it did survive? I mean, if there was so much destruction, you know, going through, and of course, I've always heard all my life that saying, you know, like, if it's something fast, you know, it's like, oh, it's like Sherman through Georgia, you know, like, what do you think? My mom always said that. So what do you think, how did the Old State Bank survive?
It survived the same way that three additional buildings survived. We had four buildings mm-hmm. that we know survived the Civil War, and there are bits and pieces of others as well, but there were four that survived intact. Mm-hmm. The Old State Bank, and all of them had Union military importance. That was the okay. one key thing that brought them together and caused the Union Army to save these four buildings is okay. because they were using them. The old bank, once again, was a field hospital and a supply mm-hmm. depot. The McCartney Hotel, which is no longer with us, it collapsed after the war. It was actually between the Old State Bank and the river, and it was the housing for junior level officers in the okay. Union Army. The commandant, whoever was the commanding officer of the Union Army in this area during the war, lived in the Dancy Polk House.
Okay.
And then the Burleson House, which also survived, was used as a headquarters at various times by both armies. Started out as a Confederate headquarter and ended up being a Union headquarters. The reason for that was it was right on the river, so you had a clear view of mm-hmm. the entire river, and it was right next to where the railroad was at that time. So
okay.
The two most important things in Decatur at that point were the river and the railroads.
Yeah, okay.
So the reason all of those buildings survived the war was simply because they had a military purpose.
Gotcha. Well, I guess we're thankful that those served that purpose then, because we still have three of them. today.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're wonderful.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about tours here, and I've taken a tour of the Old State Bank, and you mentioned like the surgical aspect of it, and we went into the vault. And so I know that that's one of the stories that is told that it's possibly true, like you said, that that's where they perform the surgeries. And I got to tell you, I kind of had the hair stand up on my arms a little bit.
We have folks that come in for paranormal tours here.
Yeah.
Because there is a thought that the bank may be haunted in some way. And we do have people that are paranormal believers that will walk in the front door and walk out and close the door and say, I can't be in there.
Oh, wow.
That there's something that's keeping me from being in there. A vault is actually a safe that you can walk into.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I believe that it probably was used on occasions for surgical use, it was it's a great tornado shelter.
Yeah.
it is built with limestone and bricks, and it's not going anywhere.
If
the vault goes away, the rest of the town is gone. So, you know, people that are in there, you get a kind of closed-in feeling a little bit. Sometimes we'll have groups come in and do that, and it's, woo, this is kind of spooky stuff here. I have classes that come in and have the entire class picture made in there, which is a pretty neat place to have a class picture made.
That is cool. Yeah. I know I've heard of some people doing the paranormal tours. We've got one of our members, the Southern Ghost Girls, that go around and do different events. And so
they've been here several times, actually. Yeah, yeah. And to the depot as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So do they think then that there is like a ghost that lingers around, or what's been their determination?
I'm going to answer that this way. I asked a professional fisherman one time, do you think there are really any fish right there where you are? He says, son, I don't fish where there are no fish. the ghost girls don't go to places that they don't think have ghosts in them. So
that is the best answer. I love it. You said a mouthful right there without
more
saying
than one.
Yes. That is the perfect answer. Well, tell us, can we still do tours? What can people expect when they take a tour of the Old State Bank?
Oh, absolutely. We love to give tours here. And by the way, I need to make special mention of my colleague, Suzanne Langdon,
who
works with me in both of the museums. Suzanne is terrific.
She's the best.
She really is. She loves to give tours at the Old State. I gave tours for 9 years here, all of them.
Yeah.
And when she came, she just immediately had an affinity for this place. And so she just asked, could I do the tours? I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So actually, she does most of the tours here.
Okay.
And I do most of the tours at the depot. And what we do, because there are occasions, both of us are quite active in the community and quite active with parks and recreation, different jobs and duties that we have. Actually, both of us are part of Decatur Parks and Recreation, and proudly so. It's a great organization.
Yeah.
There are more things besides just sports and fun and games involved in recreation. I think learning things in a fun and interesting way, I think that's a great part of a recreation program as well. And we're being very well supported with that. So Suzanne, in the morning between 9:30 and noon, loves to give tours down here at the Old State Bank.
Okay.
And then we switch over. People often ask this, why do you have those odd hours? Why is one of our museums open in the morning and the other one open in the afternoon? Well, that's why it is. If one of us is at a planning meeting for something, and we do a lot of big events here, and they take a lot of planning and a lot of meetings to do that. So many times, just one of us is actually on duty at the museums.
Okay.
So the way we make sure that we, as best we can, have someone here in the morning. Suzanne does most of the tours at the Old State Bank, 9:30 a.m. until noon. In the afternoons, from 1:30 until 4, And this is, by the way, Monday through Friday, 1:30 through 4. I am at the depot doing tours. And then we also open the depot on Saturday mornings from 10 o'clock until noon. That gives children, especially children in school, the opportunity to come to the depot as well. We have loads of children of all ages that love to come to the depot. It's just a fun place, running trains and learning about the city's railroad history and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, this is a really good segue into talking about the train depot. So thank you for that, Judge Breland.
Yes, right on the script that I don't have.
That's right. You're making my job easy here. Well, tell us about the history of the Decatur Depot and how it relates to Decatur's railway history.
I am so glad you asked that as a double part question, because that gives me the chance to back us up to the early 1830s. The first little bit of a railroad was the Tuscumbia Railroad, which was built in 1832, and then it was extended to become the Tuscumbia, Cortland, and Decatur Railroad, which ended here in 1834. That was the first true railroad west of the Allegheny Mountains. So if you think of the Alleghenies going through roughly Pittsburgh, this was the first railroad west of present-day Pittsburgh. Therefore, we were the first railroad in the American West, a very, very important railroad. It was built primarily to provide a way to get around the Muscle Shoals. A shoal is whitewater in a larger body of water. And here in Decatur, Decatur got its start from being a port. People would transport things from the Knoxville area or Chattanooga or other places to our east. Mm-hmm. They would have to stop here and offload in Decatur because the river was whitewater between here and Tuscumbia. Okay. So you would have to offload, put things on horseback or on a cart or whatever. That was very unwieldy and very unprofitable for the cotton planters in the area. So they got together and decided we need to build a railroad between Decatur and Tuscumbia. And that way we can offload things, but we can put them on a larger railroad and haul bales of cotton, people, other goods. And so that's how our railroad history got started. The little Tuscumbia, Cortland, and Decatur Railroad eventually became the Memphis and Charleston, which was the first railroad to go from the Mississippi River to the Atlantic Ocean. Then that little railroad became the Southern in 1898, and then the Southern is now the Norfolk Southern. The LNN came along a little later. It was partially here by Civil War times and became a full railroad as we know it today after the Civil War. But Decatur actually, at the time of the Civil War, had both of those railroads here. Therefore, we were a legitimate military target, the two biggest railroads perhaps in the entire South. And one of them cut the South in two from east to west, and the other one cut the South in two from north to south. So if the North could control those railroads, as Sherman and Grant both said, had we not been able to capture and control those railroads and maintain control over Decatur, Alabama, we never could have captured Chattanooga or Atlanta. So rail history has been important to us. It's still very important today because of the industrial strength that we have in the city. About 27% of our people work in manufacturing. Well, that tells you we have a lot of industry, a lot of great industry here. We have thousands of rail cars coming through our depot rail yard every day. We have about 40 to 45 trains, and each of those probably has a mile and a half to 2 miles of cars. So the depot, we're getting to the depot now. The depot was built in, the Southern Depot was built in 1905. Actually, the LNN had one that was here much earlier, probably by the early 1890s, if not the late 1880s. The LNN had a depot here that was basically where the farmers market is located now in downtown Decatur. When the Southern built their depot, at some point in time, the LNN said, it's really kind of silly for us to have two passenger train depots this close together. So we're going to go in with the Southern, form what is called a union depot. In other words, more than one railroad used that depot. the depot, what was the centerpiece of the town. It was our airport, if you will.
Yeah.
It was our eyes and ears to the world for many years. And since we had a north, south, and an east, west, we had many, many passenger trains come here because you could change trains going a different direction.
Yeah.
So for many years, this was a passenger hub. In about 1980, the passenger trains ceased operation here. Our depot went into decline. It was vacant for about 34 years until the city council decided to restore it along with some state and federal grant monies. They restored it for purposes of having a police precinct, not the main office, but a precinct of the police department and part of the depot, and having a free railroad museum in the other part. The city actually saved a lot of money by doing it in that fashion, because by accessing state and federal grants, that was that much less money the city had to put into that project. So when the city went that route at the end of the construction was just wonderful. We actually came in a little under budget and a little quicker than we thought we would. Mm-hmm. Then it was turned over to me to build out a railroad museum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to find a wonderful model train club that was looking for a place to meet. Their guys are just beyond belief wonderful. I mean, we have some guys that are household names that are in this club that helped me build it out, and actually met with a bunch of them this morning before we had the podcast. And we have a ball down there. We have multiple train layouts. We have lots of big trains still coming by every day, lots of artifacts. Almost all the artifacts that we have in the depot are gifts from our own people. I don't use city money to buy things to put in the depot, except for maintenance type things. So basically what we have are things our own people have given us, and it's just wonderful.
That's so
cool. We have a great time doing that, and lots of people come to see us. We're already at about 5,000 visitors for this year, and we had 5,500 for all of last year, so we're going to exceed that this year.
Awesome.
And how much is up to the public. We hope people come out and see us and run those numbers way up.
Yeah. Well, I love how it's a community effort that people want to give and make it as amazing as it possibly can be. So that's really cool.
Very much so. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One is, we have so many family members of people that work for railroads that live here in Decatur. At one time, about 80% of our total workforce worked for railroads. That would have been in the early 1900s. Yes, so this is a huge railroad town. So when people go to their attics or their basements or wherever, they come across these things and say, you know, I don't really need this anymore. I wonder if the public would like to look at this. And the answer to that is yes, they would. So as I as I lovingly say, when you're cleaning out the attics and the drawers and the chest of drawers and whatever, and the basements, don't throw stuff away. Bring it down to us and let us throw it away for you. But more likely, if it's a railroad something, we're going to say, oh, my word, this is wonderful. We're keeping this and showing this.
Yeah. Well, and 80%, I mean, there's a good chance that, I mean, almost everyone in Decatur then has got some sort of tie to the railroad somewhere in their family.
If you have lived here long enough, I would say if you've lived here three or four generations, absolutely you have train people in your background. And we have a lot of people, because of the number of trains we have, that just love to come out and watch trains love to come in the depot and just reminisce about various things. One of the really neat people that does that occasionally is Mr. Ross Malone. Mr. Malone is now 101, I think, almost 102 years old. We believe he's the oldest living employee of our depot. Actually has a room named for him in the depot. Yeah, it's just really a neat thing.
He gets the royal treatment when he comes down, huh?
Absolutely he does.
That is so cool. I love seeing the miniature Decatur that's set up. You want to tell us about that?
Be glad to. Oh, this is a wonderful story. The first layout that I say we did. The truth is my model train clubs, many of whom have 50 or 60 years of model railroading, I'm pretty good, but these guys are great. Mm-hmm. They set up an HO scale layout, which is kind of a smaller train, but we wanted it that way because we wanted to put this in the ticket office where we could mm-hmm. secure it well and that type of thing. It took about 3 years to totally build out that layout. And during that time, some of our guys started modeling. We have about 25 or so models of various mm-hmm. iconic buildings in Decatur. One of these was the depot itself, and it mm-hmm. actually won the Southeast region of the National Model Railroad Association Grand Championship for a model for a year. And that is really saying something because this gentleman, all these folks are local. This gentleman, that was the first building he ever modeled. And here it is, a grand champion for about eight states. It's just, and we have so many incredible models. People come in there and say, where did they find the kit for this? There's no such thing as a kit for these. They made their own materials and then put them together. We have two water towers, the Go Raiders one and the Black Bear Country. Absolutely had to have both of those. They have about 2,000 pieces each in them.
Oh, my goodness.
So the pieces had to be created and then put together. And it's all totally to scale. It is to scale within probably a foot or half a foot of what the actual building sizes are. Such things as the Cook Museum, the Depot, Dancy Polk House, Old Bank, the Princess Theater with the marquee lit up.
That one is so neat.
Farmers Market. We just have some fantastic models in there. And people from all over the country, in fact, the president of the Southeast region of the National Model Railroad Association was in our depot. This past Friday, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he had one of the directors of that organization. I said, boy, we're honored to have you guys here. Kind of the aristocracy of model railroading from the Southeast. And I said, what brought you here? He said, well, number one, I heard about these wonderful models and I wanted to come see them myself. And I said, well, what do you think about it? He said, oh my gosh, these are just beyond belief. Now, to have a guy like, to have a local, someone that runs the museum say they're special is one thing. To say, have someone like that say they're special is quite another.
Yes. Next level.
No doubt.
That is so cool. Yeah, it's really neat. So all you listeners, you've got to go check that out. It's really something to see.
And it's free. I have people all the time say, is it less than $20 per person? I said, yeah. It's a lot less than $20. I have just kind of insisted on this. I have a personal affinity for teaching our history, and I have a personal aversion to charging our people to learn about their history.
Yeah.
So both the Old State Bank and the Depot are free, and as long as I am serving as the manager of both those, they will be free.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing that we have to be cautionary on, people tend to think, well, if it's free, it's not worth much. Oh, my gosh, we've got two wonderful museums. In fact, that's just two of the museums we have in downtown. Of course, the Carnegie Visual Arts mm-hmm. Center, Morgan County Archives, and the Cook Museum. Let's just face facts. That is beyond belief to have a national class museum like that here in our city. And, of course, the Wildlife Refuge Museum is being restored. So this city, there's no reason for you not to know the history of this place. We've got six wonderful museums to teach it. We really do.
And then in April, the walking tours that you can go on and learn about the history of, I love going and learn about the architecture. And then did the one about the Decatur Salacious Pass. That was very interesting.
Oh, you went to that one, huh?
Yes. So
I must say I attended the one on Miss Kate as well as myself. Yeah.
Yes. So you're right. There's a ton of history here. There's a ton of things to do, and we're very fortunate here in Decatur.
Oh, let me speak to that for just a second. We have walking tours every Saturday in April. That is a statewide event.
Mm-hmm.
And Decatur Morgan County Tourism calls us and asks us to do it. And they know we will always say yes to that. We'd love to get great historians to talk on different topics. We try a lot of towns and cities throughout the state that do the same thing year after year after year. I don't think we've ever duplicated anything since I've been in charge of setting those up. We have so much history here, and I like for different people to talk about those different things. So look forward to April walking tours. They're totally free, and we'll have as many as 100 people walking. The walks are very easy. We make sure that all folks can participate. But we've got something else that we call History First that Suzanne and I put together, and I'm going to give her, really, the truth is, about 99% of the credit for this. I made a few suggestions about a few folks and a few types of things that might be interesting for us to talk about. And I'm looking at those right now. I've already done the first one, which was kind of a hodgepodge of Decatur history. We do these on the first Friday of every month.
Okay.
So the first one was just all the different kinds of history, the hodgepodge of history that we have. I had a great attendance for that. This next one, First Baptist Church has restored the Stevenson Chapel, which is the old sanctuary of that church. It's a Gothic-style church. Oh, my goodness. It is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. It is beautiful church. And totally within what you would have seen in 1908 when a Gothic sanctuary was being built. So that is another type of history. We have Native American history. Mm-hmm. This is really unusual. We have one of our antique dealers, one of our major antique dealers here in Decatur, is going to do a history on antiquing and the antiques of the city.
Yeah.
That is really very different. I don't know of anyone else that does something like that. But those are just four of the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 8 of them. I thought it was 8. And so just look for the first Friday of each month. We will have a History First talk. And those are not lectures. We don't have someone that just stands up and speaks for an hour. It's a give and take. A lot of the people that
questions,
are in the room, yes, and a lot of people in the room are very adept and wonderful historians. Some of them are experts themselves in the field that is being talked about. And so they'll jump in and say, oh, yeah, there's one other thing on this. That's always, always interesting to
have. That's neat. Well, what would you say has been something that's been unexpected in all of your years of being over the Old State Bank and the depot? What is something unexpected that you've learned or you've experienced from doing this?
Wow, that is a tough one. Wow, because we take great pride in being prepared for everything, so therefore we hope nothing is unexpected, unless it's a very positive one, of course.
Yeah.
But I think I have been surprised at the number of people that are really fine historians in this town. I would say easily we have 100 what I would consider to be very good historians on one or more subjects. I have never thought, even though I'm viewed as a city's historian, I've never viewed it as my job to know every jot and tittle about every piece of history in this city. People all the time say, well, you can't tell me about this building that was that had this business in it in 1841. No, I don't think I can tell you about it. But what do you know about it?
Hey,
educate me. Maybe that's the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
Is how much I have learned about our city, because my job is to really know who knows about various, who knows about the cemeteries, who knows about Civil War, who knows about Native Americans, who knows about the trees and flowers of this area. We've had gardening tours where it's a historical gardening tour, things at Delano Park in particular.
Yeah.
But my job is to know who can talk about those things in a correct and intelligent manner. And I plug them into these various talks. So if Suzanne and I are telling you, you need to come to History First, trust me.
Yes.
You need to come. you don't have to ask the question, will this person know what he or she is talking about? I will give my personal guarantee they know what they're talking about, or they wouldn't have been asked to have done this work. So I would say an unexpected, wonderful surprise is how many people love the history of this city, how many mm-hmm. have expertise in one or more areas. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. Now, this one's a little more challenging. I'm going to give you one of my secrets. How do we come up with so much stuff for the Old State Bank and for the Depot? Well, I in particular, it's kind of a hobby of mine. I kind of surf the eBay and other sites every day looking for interesting things. And okay. if it's something that's interesting that I can afford, I just buy it, turn around, donate it. I'm not bragging about that, but I'm just saying that that's a way to learn a lot about your history. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's hard to get an item because so many others from Decatur are wanting the same item. So sometimes, you know, our bidding gets kind of fun, and we know who's bidding on other yeah. things. And it's kind of like you pick up, hey, let me have this. I'm going to put it at the depot. Well, I was going to put it in the county archives. Well, I was going to, you know. So maybe that's an unexpected, a really good and unexpected thing. A number of people just love the history of this place.
And that is so funny.
It is so, gosh, we have, in my talk, the many sides of Decatur, I believe was what we called it. I mm-hmm. talked about 20 different major categories of history we have here.
Wow.
20 different.
That's a lot.
There are a lot of towns that have one or two. And boy, they hammer that. It's hard for us to hammer because we have so much yeah. in the way of history. Our tourism, much of our tourism in this city, is based on one or two things, sports mm-hmm. or history. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people yeah. that come here because they've heard about the history of this place and they want to experience it. Virtually all of our riverboat guests that come in here, and mm-hmm. this year we had, I think, 14 riverboats. I've already heard a soft announcement. This is not firmed up yet, but a soft announcement of perhaps as many as 24.
Oh, wow.
From one cruise line next year, and there's another cruise line that may join in with that. We're not wow. sure, but that's just all rumor. But, gosh, for folks to even consider us to bring travelers, I had the opportunity. Someone asked me in one of my posts about the boats coming here. I asked, why would people come here?
And you're like, why not?
I said, I was not ugly. Didn't it me? I said, I'm so grateful you asked this question because it gives me the chance to write a very long post here about just a few of the things we have. And it brought about other posts. Gosh, I didn't know that. Well, that is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a lot of fun stuff to do. And if yeah. you like history, boy, as I would say, being from the South, you have fallen into the honeypot if you're here to check out our history.
I love that. Fallen into the honeypot.
There's a lot more corn pone where that came from.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. Well, before we go, we ask our Facebook followers each week what questions they want asked. And so the
who is the ringer out there? What did my wife ask me that I cannot answer? All right, go for it. Let's see how bad it is.
It wasn't your wife. We'll say this. It wasn't your wife that asked this. But the winning question is, who famous has come through the train depot? Any famous people?
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. Now, we know that Franklin Roosevelt came through the depot. We know that William McKinley, another president, came through the depot that was here just before our current depot. It was torn down in 1904. McKinley was assassinated around 1900 or 01. So he was here just before the current depot, but he was in Decatur. And we also know that we had a king come through here, Elvis Presley.
Oh, the king.
We just had the most, the king. I want to thank personally, the person that, you know, people have these types of things and they're in their houses and they think they just don't have any value except maybe to their family. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. We had a lady to come in and she said, would you like to have a piece, a picture of Elvis Presley at the Decatur Depot? Definitive that he was here. I said, and she said, you probably have tons of them. I said, actually, I've been searching for 7 years for a picture of Elvis here at this depot.
Yeah.
Now, if there are others out there that haven't, please, please bring them to us. We would love to have more. But this one has Elvis and his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, who, if you saw the movie, you will know had multiple sides to him, not all of them good sides. But Elvis is shaking the hand of a Decatur resident.
Wow.
And we know for a fact, because of the people that took the picture and the man's children that witnessed this, where this was taken, and it was taken from the Hummingbird, which was a Louisville and Nashville train here. Elvis is leaning out of the train with Colonel Tom Parker and shaking the hand of this gentleman.
Wow.
So that's a pretty famous guy. we are already planning for an Elvis day at the depot. We have a gentleman here, Dennis Quinavalli. A lot of people know Dennis. Dennis is an Elvis tribute artist, number one. But number two, he has one of the largest Elvis collections in the world. He really does. He has some things that are really one of a kind that a lot of other people drool over. But Dennis is just not going to give them up for any amount of money. So at some point in time, be sure that you come to the depot for this, because Elvis is going to bring some of his very, very, very special things. He had he actually had a relationship with the Presley family, knew them or knows them quite well. But he's going to be there with these things, talking about the Decatur Depot and some of these very special things. So, yeah, we know that some special, famous people have been here. That probably a whole lot more that maybe we just don't know about. But let me put out a plea here at the end that if you have something that you don't even think is particularly special, but it's a picture. We had had a lady that gave us some things that were pictures of her family, but what they had in the background, it was a carnival in the downtown in the early 1960s, and showed a lot of the iconic buildings and So it wasn't just her family. You know, they were well known. A lot of people said, I love seeing your family, but I also love seeing this in the background. You know, if you have some things like that or something that directly or indirectly involves Decatur history, don't assume that it's a piece of junk. Please bring it to us. And if it's a photograph like this photograph of Elvis, we can take a picture of that and put that online without without us having to keep that photograph. So so that's a way that that you can help us as historians, and that can help you to become a historian on your own. I know of a lady that is finishing a book. She's actually adding to it. I encouraged her. One of her ancestors was a person that built some of the iconic buildings in Decatur, a bunch of them. We know of probably 20 or 25, and these are just some of the household names in town. So I said, why don't you do a book on the history of this fellow? And she got done, and she said, would you like to have one? I said, well, of course. You know, this man, building history. I hadn't even thought about that, construction history in the town. But he's,
there's another topic.
There's another topic to tell you. Absolutely. And the more of our people that bring things like that to us, please don't assume I know it all. I know I don't know it all. I'm admitting to you I don't know it all. But if you could bring me some more things, so that I can learn more, that benefits everybody because of the post we have. I want to thank our folks that look on History of Decatur, Alabama. That's the simple name of our post, History of Decatur, and Alabama is totally spelled out. We have about 7,600 followers and 6,200 likes or so. So lots of folks go on that every day, especially people that grew up here that don't live here anymore. I have a lot of people that say, thank you for doing this. I haven't had a chance to come home in 20 years, but I know everything that's going on.
Aww,
now, yeah. Now, isn't that a nice thing to be
that
told?
That is. That really is. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. It's such a joy to talk to you.
Well, thank you for what you do. You educate people, and you know what you do in your total life's work really helps and enlightens so many people. So I want to thank you for what you do. Absolutely,
thank you. It's fun. It's fun.
It is fun. it is fun. Yeah, you know it's hard work. You'll agree with this. It's hard work to make people happy. If you're in the hospitality industry and museums and visitors, you know, groups that help bring in visitors, that type of thing, that is hard, hard work, but it's also very satisfying and fun work.
It is.
So
and
thank
it's fun.
You.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is fun.
Keep going back to that. And it's fun.
Let me close with this. Maybe my favorite two to come in the depot were a 96-year-old great-grandfather and a 6-year-old great-granddaughter.
Aww.
That was just such a neat picture.
So sweet. That,
we have a lot of fun people come in, and I love them all. We have about 20 kids that are less than school age that I would say come to the depot at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
They just love it. But to have that young girl there with her great-grandfather, she was showing him around, and he was certainly telling her, I remember that right there.
So sweet.
Isn't that fun?
I love it. Well, thank you again. It's always a pleasure.
A pleasure being with you as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures.